One Man's Family, winner of 42 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 25th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, Consider makes Pinky a final proposition. While the barber, who spent a pleasant hour this evening reading bedtime stories to his great-grandchildren, Johnny and Tina Farnsworth, is now hurrying home with some good news.
Fanny, come on down here. I have something to tell you. Oh, Fanny, are you upstairs?
Mother's over at Betty's, Father.
Hazel, come here. I have some good news.
Hello, Father. What's the news?
Consider Martin is leaving town. Count your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
I was just over at Joan's house. Come out in the library, and we'll build up the fire. Here it is. Mr. Martin has been up and about all day, they tell me, and he's in touch with his travel agent and is packing his things.
Yes, I saw him this morning. I'm glad he's better.
Oh, you're new. I see. Yes. How soon will your mother be back?
Do you think it's tactful to look quite so happy?
He may be your mother's cousin, but she has seen through him, too. Let me put another stick on the fire. Yep. I think even Joan is relieved. I suspect there's been friction in the house. As I said to Joan, only a question of time and people discover that the man is a cream puff.
What's the friction? Surely not with Joan.
Miss Ballaton is frigidly polite to Mr. Martin.
Oh?
And he is extravagantly polite to her. So, something happens. I didn't want to inquire.
What's going on in here?
Hank! Come on in here. Big news. Consider Martin is packing again.
Yeah, I know, Grandfather.
You forget Father Hank's his doctor.
Yeah, I released him this morning.
Oh.
What's this, Mom? Hey, wherever did you resurrect this?
What is it?
Oh, Pinky wants to show Greta his baby pictures, so I dug out your old album.
Oh, gosh sakes. We were a couple of jugheads.
Let me see.
Not a very promising pair of twins. Why did you keep it?
Oh, Hank. You looked wonderful to me.
Aren't there any pictures where Hank is smiling? Pinky is always ear to ear. But look at Hank.
Pretty solemn Joe, all right.
You always did seem so earnest, Hank.
I don't know. Won't these discourage Greta? She won't want a big family after she sees these.
Shame on you. She's very anxious to see them. We couldn't find them when she was here the other night. Father, did you tell Pinky he could take your car?
I gave him the keys. I only ask that he saves the parts that fall off. I'm accumulating them to send back to Detroit, piece by piece.
Henry, where are you?
Library, Fanny. Come in. I have some news. I went over to read to the children and came back with a headline. Your cousin, what's-his-name, is leaving town again.
Oh, yes, Henry, I know.
Oh, poor Father.
Oh, we knew this morning, Henry. Consider walked over here after Hank said he could go out.
Where was I?
You'd gone to see about the car.
Yeah, entirely possible. If you miss me, call Buckmaster's. I'm seeing about the car.
Oh, hey, I'm going to show this to Pink. How's this for a baby picture? That's me. Is Pink in his room?
He was a minute ago. He has a date with Greta.
Yes, headline. I might have known.
What I want to find out, has Consider signed that new will yet?
I hesitated to ask. Nobody volunteered anything.
Surely Joan would have heard about it.
Oh, God, I sing it is hard. Hello to all collateral cousins. A cheerful greeting.
Oh, come in, Consider.
Dinner jacket.
On my feet again, Henry. Raring to go.
CZ, does Hank realize this? Are you allowed to be out all night so soon?
The doctor released me. Live your normal life, he said, so I'm off and away. Yep. Where's Pinky?
He's dressing to go to Greta's. Want me to call him?
I'll go up. I'd like to see the lad in private.
Hank's up there, too.
Sensitive fella. Hank can take a hint. Excuse me. Old Floyd, I said with his heart out.
Mark my words, the night air will do him in this time. He's a fragile little old bag of bones. They'll find him in a heap some foggy morning.
I think you're right, Henry. I'll try to capture him before he leaves here and send him back to bed.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
The old order changes from year to year, even for the military. Compare Army life during the Civil War with that of you men in uniform today. The uniform of a private, for example. At the start of the Civil War, this is how a soldier in the Southern Army was dressed, beginning with his boots. Boots were a prime necessity, and the heavier the soles and the longer the tops, the better. His baggy trousers were stuffed into his boots. Over his trousers, he wore a double-breasted coat, heavily padded, with a long skirt split up the back. Over all was a huge overcoat, long and heavy, with a cape reaching nearly to his waist. On his head, he wore a shapeless cap. And since all uniforms were cut in a regulation pattern, his was generally either too large or too small. On his back was strapped a knapsack containing a full stock of underwear, soap, towels, a looking glass, paper and envelopes, pen and ink, and eating utensils, to name a few items. On the outside of the knapsack, solidly folded, were two large blankets and a rubber or oil cloth. He also carried a haversack filled with provisions, plus a canteen, full cartridge box, belt, cross belt, and musket, around 58 pounds all told. Hardly what one would call a comfortable uniform. Today's private is dressed much more sensibly in either cotton or wool, depending on the climate, plus cotton socks and low-quarter shoes. In combat, he wears a fatigue uniform and carries a combat pack, which includes a shelter half, two blankets, and his personal items. Sometimes a small cargo pack, similar to the musette bag of World War II, is strapped to the bottom of the combat pack to hold the mess gear and personal items. Completing the uniform are his firearms and loaded ammo belt or magazine pouch. That is the uniform of the private in the United States Army at the last report. But even that may have been changed by this time, for the Army is continually experimenting with the uniform of today's soldier. Yes, when it comes to supplying you with a comfortable uniform which is cooler in the hot weather and warmer when the weather is cold, the Quartermaster Corps is at your service. In Pinky's bedroom, Lieutenant Hank Murray, U.S. Army Medical Corps, is delivering a stern lecture to the frail old gentleman in the red dinner jacket.
A normal life, but that didn't mean, CZ, that you can load up on brandy and roar around town all night.
I don't like the implication, load up on brandy. You've never seen me the worse for spirits, now have you, Ladybuck?
He only takes a kind of medicinal nip on the hour, Hank.
Yeah, but look, he's not as strong as he thinks he is. CZ, you've lost a lot of weight. Pinky, look at his collar. It's a size too large now.
Oh, you don't say.
Sure is. Here, three fingers.
Well, you're never going to gain it back on chicken a la king and champagne at midnight. Use your old gray matter.
Fierce fella, Pinky.
He's right, CZ.
Fierce fella. Solemn as a judge. Kind of scares me.
Well, I better scare you. You had a darn close call. You get tired now and I won't be responsible.
You won't be responsible anyway, Lieutenant. I'm the one, Ladybuck. Why, I've known fellas my age been dying for 40 or 50 years. I believe in living. I plan to live with a capital L right up to the very last breath.
You want to take that last breath tonight or tomorrow?
Oh, that's a shocking remark to make.
I mean it. When I said resume your normal life, I didn't mean climb neon signs all night.
You knew what my normal life has always been.
Okay, I was wrong. I'm just an intern. I keep learning lessons. But if I'm your doctor, you go back to bed and take it easy until you've got your weight back. Or next time you get sick, call on somebody else.
Very fierce fella.
Now, I suppose you want to see Pinky alone.
Fierce and sensitive fella. Always a joke.
Good night.
Yep. Going to be a fine doctor, Pinky. He'll save many a useless life. Well, look here. You got any plans?
I'm going to this.
Pinky, I have one more proposition to make to you, Ladybuck.
I wish you wouldn't.
I had quite a comeuppance. Young lady opened up a whole new vista to me. Now I can make you a proposal on the noble side.
Please do.
Thanks. Pinky, I needed two witnesses for the new will, so I called in the Hungarian refugee, Antonia, and Zeflon, the maid. Told him I was leaving my money to a foundation designed for hilarity to be used only by Martin cousins who are unmarried and haven't worked for a year.
Yes, sir?
Oh, can you believe it? The Hungarian took off. She said she was no longer amused by me. And she painted a picture of desperate, brave Hungarians that wrung my heart. And she had a point, Pinky. Now, how would you like to roam along the Iron Curtain borders and rescue victims of that worker's paradise?
Gee, that's a great idea.
Be a life of true adventure. Just you and me and a sack full of money. What do you say?
Not Greta?
Pinky, a woman would be in the way. Oh, come, plan to leave Friday. This is it, Pinky. This is final. Yes or no?
CZ, Greta loves me. She's practically the only one who actually loves me in a big, unselfish way. I can't let her down, and that's final with me, too.
Oh, Pinky, Pinky, Pinky.
I gotta go now. Good night.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
This is Bill Goodwin. You know, someone once said humor is the true democracy. That's why we Americans can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped to build our country's great industries and institutions. Like the firemen of New York, who still tell about Mose, the pride of Company 40, who had feet like East River barges and a beaver hat 2 feet from crown to brim. Mose could snuff out a fire with his bare hands, and when it came to rescuing people, nobody could hold a candle to him. When he wasn't putting out fires single-handed or rescuing people, Mose helped fight the East Side toughies, the plug uglies, to keep order in New York. But Mose suddenly disappeared from the New York Fire Department. In 1871, folks swore they saw him put out the Chicago fire. And Californians saw him do the same thing during the San Francisco earthquake in 1906. If any American Navy man should run across a Mose Kaiser, fireman first class, I wouldn't be surprised. Because the spirit of the pride of Company 40 still remains wherever there's an American fireman. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of such legendary heroes as Mose with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. So long as we continue to laugh together as a people, ladies and gentlemen, we will live together as a nation.
It's a few minutes later. Consider Martin is talking with Fanny in the kitchen as Pinky comes slowly downstairs carrying the album of baby pictures. He finds Father Barber and Hazel still in the library.
Well, I'm going to go now.
There it is. Do you have the car keys?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Grandfather.
Pinky, C.C. says you turned down his last and final proposition.
Hmm? What was it?
I'll tell you some other time. Mama?
Yes, dear?
I'll show Greta these baby pictures.
Yes.
She'll adore them.
Yeah. You know, she wants 10 sons. It's a big responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Suppose we brought 10 little pink-headed guys into the world and they all had my kind of luck. Oh, no. That couldn't be, could it? Out of 10 of them, a few ought to get a break once in a while. Just on the law of averages. Well, good night.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 48, Book 125, Pinky and the Unsigned Document. Frank Martin speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 42 national awards, now in its 25th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.